This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. We'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight will join us at 5:20. Want to tell everybody right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30 will be the pregame between the Pelicans and the Toronto Raptors. And tip off at 7 o'clock, you hear Todd Graffanini give you the call from, I can't believe that Toronto has not won a game on the road this year.
That is news to me, and it's news that is making me smile.
That trend continues.
I mean, they're 4-14, 4-13. I mean, they're
not too good.
They're in the depths with us right now.
But I thought that at least one of those would have been an away game. Let me go through the Saints injury report today. Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick did not participate, and we'll have to keep a close eye on Eric McCoy. It looks as though something happened there with the groin at the. In the second half against the Browns. And we'll see what happens by Friday, because that's going to be the key day for Eric.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Jeff tweeted out earlier, Jeff Nowak, he tweeted out that they don't have practice tomorrow. They're taking the day off.
No, it's going to be Friday.
So they don't practice tomorrow, so we'll get an estimate of an injury report. You know, you could check it out on at Jeff Nowak.
Yeah, Jeff will have it on his X site or Twitter site, however you want to put it. Two players had limited participation today. Foster Morrow, tight end with a shoulder injury. Jamal Williams, he's also battling a groin injury. He was limited. Full participation today, and we saw it. Man, he came out there almost like a club on his hand. Pete Werner, and he had full participation today. And Tano Passano coming back off the Achilles injury, and that's good news. He's in that 21-day window that you can put him back onto the active 53-man squad. Let me answer one of the texters ask about Jack Besh, and Jack is the wide receiver now at TCU, and you heard Jim Nagy talk about him at 4:20 that he did get an invitation, accepted that he would go to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. His relationship to some of the other Beshes that have played, and man, they had a bunch of them there. Brett and Blair Besh, Brett and Blair, well, his uncles, and his aunt, Brina. She was on the first soccer team at LSU. And, man, I remember Jack's older brother, Tiger. That name stuck with me, Tiger Besh. He went to Princeton, and he was an all-Ivy League punt kick return guy. So, yeah, there's a lot of ties. And that's where he started his college career at LSU. And I told Jim the story that Coach O had told me he wanted to use him like a flex guy, like a tight end, because he was 222 pounds in that range. And then when Coach left, he left too. He went to TCU. He's putting up some really strong numbers for TCU this season and getting that invitation. And Jim feels as though he could quite possibly go as high as the fourth round. Also today, Cat Terrell broke this story that Nathan Shepard, who was fined over $11,000 for the trying to tackle Justin Herbert, and they thought it was sort of a dirty hit. Well, he's won his appeal to the NFL. So you get to keep that 11 grand. But, man, come on. You got to look at it from his standpoint. He can't see if the ball's thrown or not thrown. Not where he caught him.
No, he's staring at the ground. How's he going to know?
And then, boy, one of the Charger guys just drilled him on that. And so they both got personal foul penalties. But does not he did win his appeal from the NFL on that. Well, they thought it was a dirty hit, but when you watched it, it was not a dirty hit. He was just trying to bring a big man like Justin Herbert down. He's a big dude playing quarterback. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is the host of BetMGM tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, Brad. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Happy Turkey Day Eve, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Brad, right off the bat, we're going to give it to you. Tulane, Memphis, kind of a showcase game. Man, if my memory's right, I think that's the only college game tomorrow night. How about that?
Yeah, look, it's definitely marquee island matchup, to say the least. I'm going to lay the chalk with the Wave. I mean, they've been tremendous all season long. One of the most balanced teams in the country. I mean, you saw their name up there with the bright lights on the College Football Playoff Ranking Reveal Show yesterday. A team that's really firing all cylinders right now across the board. Number 31 in the country, EPA per play offense. This season, number 21 on defense. And Memphis has been subpar, really defensively. That's where they're not really singing the sweetest song, to say the least. Number 85 in the country in EPA per play defense. I know Tulane is laying 13.5, depending upon where you shop. But I think they're going to win this thing by 17-plus. So I think the Green Wave is going to be a bit of a tsunami on Thanksgiving Day.
I'll stick with college football. Texas A&M, man, they got caught in a trap Saturday. Auburn caught them. Now, they had numerous chances to win it, to be honest. But your thoughts here, and it was so funny. We heard Mike Elko say, man, we're not looking ahead to Texas. He realized, you know, he was playing Auburn. He kind of misspoke a little bit. But, man, they didn't take Auburn serious, got beat there. Your thoughts, Longhorns, Aggies, and renew that rivalry back up again.
Yeah, Texas, what version are we going to get? You know, a team that has shown they can, you know, play for the whole shebang and potentially win it at times. But there's been other instances where they have just fallen well short. I mean, you look at some of the advanced stats out there, matches the eye test, especially on the defensive end. Their de-success rate nationally against the run is number 72 in the country. That's not going to, you know, really pay the bills there in the end. And you're facing a Texas A&M team that has a top 35 offensive success rate on the ground this season. And, in fact, it's number 25 to be exact. So I think 5.5 points right now for Hook'em Horns, a little bit too much for me. Rivalry game, obviously, a lot at stake. A&M has been a bit of a roller coaster ride here the last couple of weeks. But I think they're going to cover the 5.5. I think Texas will win, but it could be by a field goal boot in the end. Give me A&M plus the points.
Brad. I'm going to switch it back over to the NFL, the big boys. We got a couple games tomorrow, though I will say out of those three, there's only one game I really want to keep an eye on. This Dolphins-Packers game. I feel like the first two are going to be, you know, Lions-Bears, I'm hoping it's a blowout. As much as I want to root for the Bears and Caleb Williams, I'm hoping it's a blowout. I like seeing the Lions just dump 60 on people. Cowboys-Giants, you couldn't pay me to watch that game. You really couldn't. But Bears and Packers, though. Or Dolphins-Packers.
That should take you a little nap.
That is exactly. It's 3:30 on Fox. It's a perfect time. What are you feeling about this Dolphins team going up to the Packers in like what will be like 20-degree weather?
Yeah, exactly. When you emerge from that tryptophan-induced coma in the afternoon, it'll probably get the energy level back up. I think this game's going to be a barn burner. I really do. I like the Green Bay Packers quite a bit because of the conditions expected. Might see a couple of snow flurries fly through the sky. No accumulating snow expected there in Green Bay. It's going to be confined more to the UP of Michigan and northern Wisconsin. So don't worry about that. But, yeah, game time temps probably around 25 degrees Fahrenheit. They're at Lambeau Field. It's going to feel darn right chilly, and you got a southern latitude team that is not used to playing those kind of conditions. Now, they're kind of built for it with Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert, Wright. They got the triumvirate of running back that can definitely fight and, you know, crack pads in chilly conditions. But can't Tua step up? Can he show up and show out in the frigidness? I do have my concerns there, despite the weaponry around him and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think Jordan Love, even without Romeo Doubs, was ruled out today due to the concussion he suffered last week. So Dontavian Wicks could be an X factor in this game. A guy that's been a roller coaster of a ride, really, to say the least, of this season. He's had some big games. He's had some largely absent games. But he's a game, this could be an output that really shows up. And it's going to be a ton of Josh Jacobs on the ground. He's a battering ram. He is built for these kind of frigid conditions. It's going to be a minimum of 20 carries for him, probably a minimum of 80 yards on the ground. He's going to score at least one time. Give me Green Bay because Mother Nature is on their side.
I agree with you there. Let's go to Sunday and Saints-Rams. Brad, to be honest with you, the Saints have not matched up with the Rams over the years. I can't explain why. It's about some crazy games. But last year, Matt Stafford just ripped them apart. And Cooper Cup and Nakua, I mean, they were running free downfield. The Saints are hurting in the secondary. If they can't get pressure on Matt Stafford, now the Eagles did. But they got some guys up front. They got dudes that could push the pocket. If the Saints don't get in the face of Matt Stafford, it's going to be a long day. And I don't think the Rams are going to do a lot against the Saints offense. I think the Saints can score in this game. I just don't know about their defense.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry. There's no question about that. Matty Stafford, this guy can still, you know, really twirl the pill accurately and consistently in all facets, whether on short jump offs, or Kyren Williams working the intermediate field with Cooper Kupp or some long bombs, whether it's going to Tutu Atwell or Puka Nacua. There's just so many weapons on this squad that I don't think the Saints have the bodies to really wrap them up and contain them. Alante Taylor's one of the most forgiving DBs in the National Football League this season. He's allowed the third most yards of any defensive back in the NFL. So that is an area of weakness, and I think Matthew Stafford's really going to take advantage of it. So, Taysom Hill, of course, always an X factor. He knows he's going to go out there and, you know, run for another three scores, highly unlikely. But because he can beat you, you know, as a receiver, as a runner, the occasional passer, he's that weapon, that Swiss Army knife, who is, if he is sharpened, can really plunge a dagger into the back of the L.A. Rams. But I think the Rams just have too many weapons all around, too balanced offensively. And that defensive front has gotten a lot of push here of late. They're going to try to collapse the pocket, really ramp up the heat on Derek Carr. So I'm going to leave the chalk eyes on the road with L.A. at the 2.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Brad, somebody texted me this, so I know he got money on the game. Oklahoma State, Colorado.
Oh, really? Oklahoma State, Colorado. Well, look, I would side with the Buffs on that one. I know that they, you know, fell short, obviously, last week, and a team licking their wounds a little bit, and they were on a path maybe to sneak into the college football playoff. But, of course, right now they're going to be out of the mix, unfortunately. And, you know, a team that's trying to vie for a very, you know, suitable bowl game. I think they're going to go out there and crush Oklahoma State. You know, right now Colorado projected really scoring anywhere between 40, 45 points. I think entirely doable. Is Oklahoma State this season, guys, number 111 nationally in defensive success rates. So the Cowboys shooting a lot of blanks in that capacity. Shedeur Sanders and company should really pile up the points. So I'll lay the chalk and a heavy amount of chalk with the CU Buffs.
I think this point spread's 2.5. Clemson, South Carolina. South Carolina, it's got to be one of the hottest teams in college football that we've watched down the stretch. And Clemson, it depends on when you watch them, to be honest with you. I think Clemson's got more talent, but, man, they're so erratic. So your thoughts, Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, I like the Gamecocks here, guys. They're catching 2.5 points, and a lot of the advanced data that is out there is really pointing to saying, hey, back South Carolina in this game. They have the 8th best defense, according to EPA per play data. They've been outstanding in that capacity all season long. Clemson, you never know what you're going to get with them. Very erratic, very unpredictable, and I just like teams with, you know, sizable and suitable defenses this time of year. And South Carolina has a ton to play for. Yep. You know, whoever the loser is going to be out of the playoff mix. Whoever wins has more than a puncher's chance of punching their ticket for the second season in the college football expanded playoffs. So a lot at stake in this game. But give me the Gamecocks plus the 2.5, and I'm going to sprinkle some action on the money line as
okay.
well.
Okay, super.
All right, Brad, something to keep an eye on in the early window Sunday, because we've got the afternoon window for once, is the Chargers and Falcons. Chargers are 1-point favorites in Atlanta. Tell me, are you flying high? Are you bolting up? What are you thinking?
I'm flying high, honestly, on the total, guys. I grabbed that immediately when it opened at BetMGM at 47.5. I think it's up to 48 right now. I would still play it. I think this game's going to be comfortably in the 50s in terms of the total points scored when it's all said and done. You got two electric offenses. The Chargers number 12 in the NFL at EPA per play offense. Atlanta number 13. You know, Justin Herbert's really been twirling the pill beautifully here the last handful of games. You know, maybe hopefully Quentin Johnson will actually catch some of the passes thrown in his general direction, like we saw in the last effort against the Baltimore Ravens. But, you know, Atlanta can definitely move the football as well. They got all kinds of weapons across the board. Bijan Robinson, DeJour gets it done on the ground, gets it done through the air. I think there's just got to be points aplentiful in this matchup. That's the best bet in my mind. And Chargers and Falcons, the over, 47.5. And again, I played up to 49.5.
Before I watched the Alabama game against Oklahoma, I thought LSU would win this game, and maybe convincing. I've watched Oklahoma all season long. They've not really impressed me. Then all of a sudden, you know, Jalen Milroe sort of helped them a little bit there. He threw up a couple of lollipops, and they really played well against Alabama, to be honest with you. Your thoughts, LSU, Oklahoma, first time Oklahoma's ever played in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, look, I like LSU. I'm going to lay the chalk here with the Tigers. You know, Oklahoma, that might have been more of a mirage that they showed. You know, a lot of people could have been at him thinking, hey, you know, the sun shines on the dog's behind again in back-to-back weeks, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, you look at Oklahoma on the season, guys. Offensive success rate data is very telling. They're number 74 in the country running the football and number 122 in the nation passing the football. That is no bueno, mi amigos. LSU's a team, obviously, very balanced, fantastic offensively, number 10 in all of college football and EPA per play offense. I'm going to follow the advanced numbers, the analytics pointing me in one direction only, and saying, go Tigers.
Eagles-Ravens, and man, you watch the Ravens, and sometimes they look really good. I think last week, that's the best I've ever seen them play defense all year long. And then you saw the demolition job Philly did on the Rams, and my God, Saquon Barkley. You talk about having an MVP season, he's having one in an Eagles uniform.
Yeah, he really is, and very much in that conversation for the coveted award. Last person to win it, not a quarterback, was a running back. That was Adrian Peterson back in 2012. So, you know, it's been a minute, but he's very deserving of that honor and adding a trophy to the case. The over-under on his player prop this week is really interesting, guys. It's at 91.5. Now, he obviously smoked that last week. He's still piling up runs of like 20-plus yards, it seems like, into LA Rams. And, you know, it's running for 255. I kind of like living in a land down under, honestly, on that number. You cannot run on the Ravens. Number 3 in the NFL in rush EPA defense over the last 5 weeks. On the season, only giving up 3.30 yards per carry the running back position. 66 yards per game on the ground, RBs as well. The most yards they have surrendered to a running back rushing the football, Najee Harris, who had 63. So can Barkley, obviously, get to 92? Yeah, he's more capable of doing that. But I think the Ravens are really going to tighten the screws in the trenches, force Philadelphia airborne, a whole lot of Jalen Hurts down the field to A.J. Brown. You could throw on the Ravens all good diggity day long. They did show and made some strides last week. But I think the key cog in this game is going to be A.J. Brown and that connection with Jalen Hurts. And I think Saquon Barkley may actually take a little bit of a back seat, but I'm probably going to be horribly wrong about that.
Interesting game for me. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. You look at what Joe Burrow has done. He would be in the conversation as NFL MVP, but his defense is so lousy. He's got to score almost every time he has the football, and then you go up against the Steelers. And right now, you know, the Steelers have played some really good football, and they're better offensively, Brad, than I thought we would see this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they are. The major concern that I have with Pittsburgh right now is defensively, shockingly. The steel curtain is more like the soft curtain when it comes to defending the run. They are number 31 in rush EPA defense the last 5 weeks. Nick Chubb was able to get not one but two touchdowns. That was a bit of a war of attrition there. In the snow game, they are in Cleveland. But, you know, you look at the matchup this week, and, you know, it's not going to be the easiest road to hoe, to say, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. When you're facing my guy, Chase Brown, formerly of the ILL, and really getting it done right now. You know, 20-25 carries seemingly every single week. His role in the pass game has really ramped up. He's been catching everything as a check down weapon or in design looks as well, left and right. He is going to be the X factor in this game. And if Pittsburgh shows some cracks in the dam yet again on the ground, I think the Bengals are going to win this thing. So I'm going to go with my gut here. Okay. I'm going to lay the chalk in the -3 with Cincinnati, and I think Chase Brown's going to show up and show out in this contest.
Are you shocked with the line Ohio State-Michigan? Now, Michigan has not played well this season at all. I think this might be put the boots to them type game. If Ohio State gets ahead, man, they're going to kick them around because they've had some awful losses to them the last 3 years with Harbaugh. Your thoughts on that, what is it, 20.5? Ohio State over Michigan? Good gracious, that's a huge line. But I think for a lot of people, Ryan Day knows this matters to the fan base in Columbus. And I think if he gets a lead on him, he's not letting off the accelerator.
No. He's going to run him over. He's going to throw it in reserve or reverse, run him back over, and then throw it in drive and run him over one more time. It's going to be an epic smashing here, guys. Ohio State far and away the better team, and you might say, oh, rivalry game, throw all the spreads out the window. It's not remotely close. Michigan doesn't have a quarterback. That's been their biggest issue all season long. I saw it front and center in Champaign, the loss against the University of Illinois in that game. They can't throw with the damn. They can't really move offensively worth a darn either. And defensively, as good as they have been this season, Ohio State just has way too much speed, way too many weapons. And Michigan, number 55 in EPA per play offense on the season, they're going to get trucked. So I would lay the chalk. Heck, I would lay it at 29.5. I think Ohio State wins this by 30 or more.
That's a lot. But the only one thing with Michigan they can think about next year, they got the best quarterback money could buy, so to speak, with Underwood. And God bless him. Man, listen, if they can pay you like that, you know, if he was my son, I would tell him, take that cash too. You don't get too many opportunities that way in life. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, brother.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, John. Guys, and enjoy the gluttony. It's a glorious day.
All righty. That was Brad Evans, host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider. Brad Evans, BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. When we come back, triple option. Steve Geller joins Cullen and I right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillio along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. It's our triple option feature. Before we go to that, one of the texters put in, they should just put flags on the quarterbacks in the NFL. Go Saints. You know what the NFL is looking more and more like? I see it in the summer. 7-on-7.
Yeah.
The way they treat quarterbacks and even receivers today, they're getting to be that point. You know why? They're getting paid, both the quarterbacks and the receivers. Steve, you first on triple option.
Well, I've got some audio that a lot of folks, I don't think you're going to comprehend what you're hearing, but I had to play it. Good old former Pelican DeMarcus Cousins, he believes that Zion Williamson was set up to fail because he was drafted to a city like New Orleans. Here's what's Boogie's words when he featured on the Run It Back show on the FanDuel TV.
Let's rewind all the way back. When this guy was getting drafted, we knew he was going to New Orleans, and it was a weight concern. That was bad then. New Orleans isn't some place that just gives health. Like, that's a place you go, you gain 10 pounds. You know, you go out there, you drink, have a good time. That's what the culture of New Orleans is. So to put that kid in that situation and expect him to thrive in it, that was the first mistake.
All right, Cousins. Yeah, it's let the good times roll here, but as a professional, you need to be disciplined. I think that blaming New Orleans for drafting Zion and setting him up for failure is utter ridiculousness.
No, you're getting paid to play. And your deal, whatever you do off the field, okay, it's your personal business. But my thing about it is, don't let it affect your court presence. And I think it has with Zion. I think it has.
Weight's been an issue, right.
Especially early on. I think he's better with trying to keep himself in shape now than what he was earlier. But you can't blame the city in New Orleans for that. Man, you talk about conspiracy theories. Boy, that's a real stretch on that one.
I think Boogie's just missing the cooking over here.
Yeah, I think he is. Cullen?
All right, guys. I'm getting this from NFL and CBS. I don't want to be the anti-Homer, but I'm starting to get on the Bo Nix Rookie of the Year hype train. QBs with 20 total touchdowns in two or fewer turnovers in a 10-game span within a season over the last 10 years, Rodgers did it in 2014 and 2021, Tom Brady 2016, Patrick Mahomes 2020, Drew Brees 2018 and 2019, and Bo Nix this year.
Y'all, you're not being a homer picking that.
He's cooking. He's doing such a good job.
He's done really well. Now, against the Saints, he was El Lazio. He had five passes. They were wide open, and he missed them. I'm talking about high school open.
That was very head-scratcher.
You watched him the last few weeks. He's really played well, really, really. And I got to give Coach Payton a lot of credit with that because that's his baby, so to speak, to figure out a system that best suits the quarterback. And I think he's done it with Bo. And Bo's got a thick hide. You know, I know his papa pretty well. You know, he's a former player, too.
And you need it with Sean, for sure.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he got that twofold with Sean. But you got to give Bo Nix a lot of credit. And Jaden, I think Jaden is banged up, to be honest. I don't think the Commanders are saying it, but I think he's banged up health-wise.
I mean, odds were heavily in his favor a couple weeks ago. Currently, BetMGM just talked to Brad about it, probably. He's probably thinking about it. Minus 175 for Jaden, plus 100 for Nix. He's closing that gap.
And fast. If Charlie Long has listened to this program, I'm going to tell him, put your hands over your ears. Because late last night, the L.A. Dodgers signed left-handed pitcher Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner. He won it in 2018 with the Tampa Bay Rays and then in 2023 with the Padres. He signed a two-year contract with the San Francisco Giants, a two-year $62 million. But his agent drew in there. He could opt out after 1 year. So what did he sign with the Dodgers last night? 5 years, $182 million deal.
Cha-ching.
And, man, the rich just keep getting richer with the Dodgers, and they're not through yet. I've been told by some people that got a little bit of insights that they're not through throwing that money around.
Man, they ain't got more money for Soto, huh?
They might.
If you told that to Charlie, man, he'd have a fit over here. Y'all better put him in a different room than where we at.
Would it be worse if all of a sudden the Dodgers decide we're going to bring a veteran in like Alex Bregman?
No, that might do it too.
That would certainly send Charlie over the edge.
That might do it too. That's it for our triple option. We come back. We'll finish it up here in hour number two on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Remind everybody at 6:30 tonight, it will be pregame as the Pelicans take on the Toronto Raptors, who have not won an away game this year.
Unreal, right?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
0-10.
And then tip off at 7 o'clock. You can hear Graf give you the action right here on the Big 870 WWL. Just want to tell everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. And, man, it's a nice time. Hang out with family, friends. And it looks like some inclement weather tomorrow from what I hear. So might be some snuggle weather. How do you say that, Steve?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Mike, these games on Thursday, nothing really too exciting on Thanksgiving action.
Not early.
For the NFL,
not,
at least. We got Tulane at night.
Yeah, and but I'm interested in Dolphins-Packers. How the Dolphins will handle that cold weather. They normally haven't handled it well. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.